This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. It's Tina Camellia, Sharmila Gunnison and Kelly Anissa with you this hour with the following stories.
First up, we talk about how a 19th century poet created her image in ways that seem surprisingly familiar in the age of social media, and how she later lost control of that image.
And the Momo Challenge is back, but don't fall for it. Why do some people always get duped? Are parents' fears for their children's safety justified?
And on social media, we are asking you, who is more gullible to online hoaxes? We have A, parents, B, children, C, teachers, or D, the authorities to join the conversation. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or call us at 7733-2900. Meanwhile, here's It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
And now on to our first story, which is about the female Byron.
Yep. So when it comes to 19th century English poets, we've all probably heard of people like, well, Lord Byron, of course, William Wordsworth, Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Yes, they are all men. they are women. But have you heard of Letitia Elizabeth Landon? It's not very surprising, actually, if you haven't, because despite being one of the most famous female writers of her time, her fame was both brief and short-lived. Landon was only 36 when she died of what many believe to be suicide, and since that time, her poetry isn't actually very familiar to most readers.
Yeah, but thanks to a recent book by Lucas de Miller called L.E.L. The Lost Life and Scandalous Death of Letitia Elizabeth Landon, the celebrated female Byron, there has been a bit of rediscovery of her work, and we're finding out that she might have created her image as a celebrity in ways that would be pretty familiar when we think of celebrity culture today, but can also be damaging and exploitative.
But before we get into that, let's get a taste of what Landon's poetry was like. Here's a reading of a poem by her titled Revenge, being read by a Poetry Out Loud state champion in the US, Haley Bryan.
I gaze upon her rose wreath hair and gaze upon her smile. Seems as if you drank the very air her breath perfumed the while. And wake for her that gifted line, that wild and witching lay. And swear your heart is as a shrine that only owns her sway. 'Tis well, I am revenged at last. Mark you that scornful cheek. The eye averted as you passed spoke more than words could speak. I, by all the bitter tears that I have shed for thee, the racking doubts, the burning fears, avenged they well may be. By the nights passed in sleepless care, the days of endless woe, all that you taught my heart to bear, all that yourself will know. I would not wish to see you laid within an early tomb. I should forget how you betrayed and only weep your doom. But this is fitting punishment, to live and love in vain. Oh, my wrung heart, be thou content and feed upon his pain. Go thou and watch her light a sigh, thine own it will not be, and bask beneath her sunny eye. It will not turn on thee. 'Tis well, the rack, the chain, the wheel, far better hast thou proved. Even I could almost pity feel, for thou art nor beloved.
So Landon was known by her initials, L-E-L, during her time. She was also known, as you said earlier, Tina, as the female Byron, which was really high praise at that time. And part of that, the part of the reason she was called that was, as we heard in the poem, this sort of intense romantic longing that Lord Byron was known for. Mm. And also sort of a very, for someone her age, I think, because she was only a teenager when she started publishing, a sort of almost mature knowledge of what things like romance romance and eroticism could have felt like, and that too from a female perspective, right?
Right.
The period of her career, which was only actually about 18 years, extended into what was actually a very interesting one in terms of poetry history, because when she began, it was at the tail end of the Romantic period, with poets like Keats, Shelley, and Byron being major influences. And by the time she died in 1838, it was the Victorian era, where morals were a little bit more closed and people were a little less forgiving of these kind of wild, passionate declarations. Mm-hmm. And even though she inspired many of the poets that came after her, people like Elizabeth Barrett Browning, the Bronte sisters, her work was largely dismissed as being shallow and insignificant after her death.
But what is interesting about Landon's fame is how she tried to create an image for herself, which fed into the way the public perceived her poetry. And her poetry was seen as mysterious and somewhat elusive, and female readers perceived is, is an invitation to share in forbidden secrets, and male readers were drawn to the mystery of who this woman could be.
Yeah, her poetry was deeply confessional. They were often about sufferings of love, but also, like you mentioned just now, Sharmila, it had an erotic undertone. And this was what drew the comparison to Lord Byron. But the fact that such intense expressions of love and longing written by such a young woman added to that reputation that started developing around her.
Mm-hmm. And in 1820, Landon's poetry started appearing in the Literary Gazette, which was a magazine that that took a new approach. So it was more about mass readership, and it thrived on creating a sort of celebrity culture around the people it featured. And similar to the celebrity magazines and websites of today, it was a combination of building these personalities up and also tearing them down.
Yes, I suppose that sounds familiar to us. And Landon, you know, fit in very well into this new method of creating these literary personalities. As part of her image, she posed for a series of portraits that emphasized this like innocence and femininity, and, you know, really fit into that idea of a mysterious poet, even the fact that she was using initials rather than her full name, you know, like this young woman with this hidden eroticism. According to Lucasta Miller, who wrote the book about her, these efforts were designed to keep readers, and I quote, in a permanent state of frustrated arousal. But there was actually really much more going on behind the scenes. Landon and the editor of the Literary Gazette, William Jerdon, who was married, were actually lovers, and she, you know, over the course of their relationship, actually had 3 children with him. And, you know, while it might be easy to imagine that for someone so young, a lot of that pain in her writing was probably just made up, that's not true, because she was in this like hugely painful love affair, and she was even forced to give up her 3 children, all of whom were sent to different parts of the world and were raised by different families.
Oh, wow. And yet through this all, it was Jerdon who was also working with her to continue preserving this image of erotic innocence that helped sell his magazine. And Miller says in her book that Jerdon had fathered 23 children with multiple women, and by the early 1830s, was mostly done with Landon. By this time, he had also been both her banker and her editor, and took much of her earnings from her work. Sounds very familiar.
Yes.
There is even evidence that she was not even paid for the work she did for his magazine, and she struggled to find consistent work anywhere else.
And by this time, the media had also started turning on her. So stories of her affair had been hinted at, and she had a notorious reputation as well. So Jerdon himself might have leaked some of the stories about her pregnancies. And she got engaged in 1835, but anonymous letters about her personal life ended the engagement. And finally, in 1936, her network of friends arranged her marriage to a British officer named George McLean, and she moved to Ghana with him. And shortly after, she was found dead, a bottle of highly toxic prussic acid in her hand.
Yeah, so it's really a very sort of tragic end to someone who, I think in many ways, perhaps at the time that she lived in, maybe would have been judged differently. But when we look at her now, we can see how this idea of controlling your own image really is very familiar, isn't it? It's something that happens to a lot of stars. If you think about young pop stars who then later end up troubled and you know, with substance abuse problems, and the fact that they were all managed by people who took advantage of their innocence and sort of gave them the illusion that they were in control of their image, but really weren't. And I thought this was a really sort of sad example of that happening.
And to think that, you know, or 300 years later, not much has changed.
Yes, yes.
That's a bit sad.
I mean, maybe the media that we can consume them on is different. But yeah, you're right.
The treatment of the subjects are, yes, the same.
It's, yes, and in even the value of the work that she's written, it's only now, and in the last few years, with a more focus on female poets and rediscovering female contemporaries of some of these big male poets, that her work is being given more due and like being looked at as being more complex rather than just a young girl with these romantic sexual imaginings. They're actually looking at what prompted some of that writing. But, you know, I feel when I actually read about these stories, I still feel so sad for this woman who really, I think, didn't realize how quickly this celebrity can turn on you, that something that you think you have control of actually ends up basically eating you and spitting you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on a more positive note, if you would like to hear more about female poets and the kind of change that they can affect, do tune in tomorrow at 3 p.m. for Speakeasy, where we are doing our special International Women's Day episode.
And if you'd like to weigh in, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. And don't forget, we also have a Twitter poll. We are asking you, who is more gullible to online hoaxes? So 80% of you have voted parents, 15% of you said children, while 6% of you said authorities, and no one has said teachers.
So we have poetry by Roy Hargrove featuring Q-Tip and Erykah Badu coming right up. And when we come back, the Momo Challenge has made a comeback. Why are we so gullible? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.